Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by your friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down to my iPhone 7 Plus, and whew, I see 16 days to go until we head down for Dopey 2017. Can you say last long run of the training season? Yes, it's this weekend. 26 fun miles, and then, hey, it's the taper. And whatever you're looking forward to, hopefully it's not running 48.6 miles. It's probably just chilling out at Walt Disney World and having a great time with your friends and family. Whatever the case is, you can get excited for that next trip with Days to Go WDW. It has great pictures. It gives you an audio alert. You can even customize the text and more. Make your Apple device a Disney device right now. Drop by virtualmickey.com today.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1106 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks so much for checking in here in the middle of your week. We are in the middle of December. It's a busy time of the year. But wherever you go, take the Be Our Guest Podcast with you. And there's a new way. We talked about this a couple of times, maybe on Instagram. Couple of new ways to take the Be Our Guest podcast with you, or maybe not with you, but I'll listen to it a little bit easier. We are now available on the Amazon Echo. So you can do this. You can say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Be Our Guest podcast." Hey, Pam, I probably just triggered everybody to start playing the podcast, but you can do that. And you can also do it on the Google Home. So check that out. Of course, always on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, everywhere else. But we always want to make it easy for you to get your Disney fix, and we appreciate you always listening to the Be Our Guest podcast. So we are going to be answering your listener questions today. Ricky is on an airplane currently, so she is not with us, but we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, standing by. How's it going, Pam, on this midweek?
Standing by here in beautiful but very cold Pittsburgh. It's going great. We got to last weekend go through and see some of the really cool holiday stuff that was in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's one of those things, like, I love Pittsburgh so much. We both went to college there. Steve and I spent a lot of time there, lived there after we graduated and whatever. So I love the city. And I always forget how much I love it until we're back in it again. Of course, Steve's there every day, so it's not maybe quite as exciting for him, but for me. Anyways, we had such a really cool time, did a bunch of the holiday things. So I'm going to put the little reminder out there to everyone to take advantage of things that are really important this holiday season. I know you got shopping to do. I know you have baking to do, probably 8 million other things, but take time to be with, those people that you care about, because that's what it's really all about.
That's 100% what it's all about. It's all about the friends and the family. And, before we get to today's questions, real quick, let me just, thank everybody who came out to St. Louis this past weekend. We did the Hot Chocolate 5 and 15K, had the Sheingolds in town. We had the Gardeners. We had this group. We even had some St. Louisans who I didn't get. I know that Beth Frank did her first 5K, and just so proud of her. And it was Matt. Everybody was here. We had so many friends. Dan ran. It was great. I saw the results on their page, but it was amazing. The folks came from around the country: Kansas City, Indiana, Michigan. Folks came, Bernadette, everybody came out to just get together and have a good time. We got to do some fun things here in St. Louis, even with some challenging weather. I know Scott and his family faced a big snowstorm getting home, but they made it home after a long time through the snow. Same way with the Sheingolds heading back to Indiana. So just thank you so much. That's what this is all about. It's about the friendships, the family. Man, did we have a good time. And some of our best friends in the world are friends of the podcast. So thanks again to everybody. And one other thing I want to remind everybody, that we're going to have a big meet over marathon weekend. It's the Saturday after the half marathon, 10:30 at Boardwalk Bakery. So no cost, or you can just go in and grab you know, a goodie or a soda or something. And we're going to hang out outside the Boardwalk Bakery hoping for some great weather, but of course, great friendships. So put that on the calendar, 10:30 on Saturday over Marathon Weekend at the Boardwalk Bakery.
We hope they to have see you there. Maybe a few things there that are good to eat, just like a couple.
Well, you know what? It's next door. It's next door to Ample Hill, so I may be just getting something there, like a little ooey gooey butter cake ice cream is what I'm thinking.
Look, there's 8 million things at the Boardwalk Bakery that are good to eat. I mean, we're not gonna lack for any of those. So, although I do miss, remember the egg bread bowl thing?
Yes.
Hello,
is that not there anymore? Dang.
It's not there anymore.
That was good. Huh? Yeah, you turned me on to that thing. That was really good.
I know, right?
Oh, so I got to tell one story because it does relate to Ample Hills. So during our race here in St. Louis, we don't have a lot of stuff. I mean, we got the best baseball team in the world. We do have an arch and, you know, a pretty big arch. And we have, you know, some other stuff. But one of the things that we do have in St. Louis, and we took advantage of this on the 15K run, is we do have White Castle here in St. Louis. And if you don't know what White Castle are, we also call them Belly Bombers. They're sliders. They're little hamburgers. Well, we were running this race on Sunday morning, started at 7:30, and I noticed at about mile 3 on the course, Paige is running with me, and she says, "Oh," and she doesn't like White Castles, by the way. She goes, "Oh, I can smell White Castle." I'm like, "I can smell White Castle, too. I forgot there's one downtown." So we're running through downtown. We run past a White Castle on the way out of town because it was a 9.5-mile race. We're like at mile 3, so we're heading out of town to come back. And I was thinking, and I told Scott, I was like, "Oh man, there's a White Castle on the course. That's like, you know, it's almost like a Disney race. It's like a castle, you know, it's a White Castle." He's like, I've never had. He tells me I've never had White Castles. I'm like, "Well, we're gonna fix that." So I said, "Just keep running. You guys keep running." I went in the White Castle, got my ski mask on. It was freezing. My lizard stuff. I got my number right there in the front. Well, I, you know, go up to the girl at the White Castle register, and I said, "You know, you guys making hamburgers? I know it's like 8:30 on a Sunday morning." "Oh yeah, yeah, we got hamburgers ready to go." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Six. Oh. Give me six real quick. I'm still running." She's like, "You run the race?" I'm like, "Yeah." "So can we, you know, go fast, kind of? Because I, you know, they're leaving me." And so the guy behind the grill is like taking his time, flirting with the girl at the drive-through window. And finally, he saw me. I pointed to my number. "Oh, are you racing?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm racing. Come on now. I need my White Castles. My buddy's never had one." So I caught up to him about a mile later. You know, I'm running like a maniac with a sack of White Castles, and they're made with all these onions. They smell really strong. So people thought I was, you know, just some even weirder than normal. But yeah, we stopped at like mile 4 and munched down on some sliders there. So I definitely tried to make the hot chocolate race one to remember for our friends. But good times.
I think that's scary because I've had a White Castle burger and they're a little heavy, I will say.
They are. And they're
a little heavy on the grease.
They are. They're not good. They're like better at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, but you know, not so much on a Sunday morning at 8:30. Yeah, but Paige said, "Well, if I have to hold this, we're definitely stopping at Ample Hills at the end of Dopey." I'm like, "We'll be at mile 25 of Dopey, you know, the last race, whatever. We'll go through Ample Hills." So that's the deal I made with her. Anyway, let's get to the questions. That's why you're here. Erin has the first question. She's in Binghamton and says, "Hi, BOG team. I was listening to episode 1096, the trip report from the 18-person Animal Kingdom Lodge trip. The guest you had, Nate, talked about his anxiety issues at Disney. I also have some anxiety problems that can make Disney trips difficult. One thing that has helped me to enjoy the park as much as possible is making a pre-rope drop breakfast reservation. If I can get an 8 o'clock a.m. reservation on a day when the park opens at 9, I get into the park a little early. There's no crush of people waiting to get into the park. And when I'm done with breakfast, I can usually hit a couple of headliner attractions with a shorter wait, helping me to avoid uncomfortable situations. I thought I'd pass the idea on for other listeners who might find it useful. Also, don't feel ashamed if you need to get a disability access card. There are times when I want to ride an attraction, but I know from experience the waiting in the queue will be a problem. A great example for me is the Little Mermaid ride at the Magic Kingdom. The winding queue, the darkish space, the people all around, it's enough to give me a panic attack and end my day. The disability access card effectively allows me to wait somewhere else. I can usually get through the shorter wait without a problem, but I don't feel like I've somehow cheated the system since I did the rest of the waiting elsewhere. The disability access card is a tool that allows people to enjoy the park in a way that they might not otherwise be able to do it. It isn't just for physical problems. Disney has always been great about helping me get the most out of the parks, even with my anxiety to deal with. Last bit of advice, the first aid centers are a refuge. If you need to sit somewhere quiet and collect yourself, they're happy to be that place for you too. Anyway, I hope this helps someone else, Erin in Binghamton." And you know what, Pam? This is the kind of email I love getting because, first of all, you know, Nate kind of put it out there, you know, courageously and just threw it out there because we're all different. We all have, you know, we all have something that we're challenged with. And you know, Nate shared his story, and now Aaron jumps in with just some awesome tips that I would have never thought about, but it makes sense. Hopefully it helps somebody down the road.
I agree. I think it's so great to hear about, and the fact that it puts people, I think, in a more comfortable space to know that others are kind of struggling with some of those issues. And I mean, you know, I know that so many people struggle with anxiety issues, and I think that part of the process of working through that is learning some techniques that can help you maybe avoid or deal with those issues when they come up. And having the experience of someone else, you know, share, hey, look, this is how I deal with this and this helps me, I think helps put people a little bit at ease. And that's half the battle right there. So thank you so much, both of you, for being willing to share that. So,
absolutely.
Great.
And I think too, that pre-rope drop, everybody needs to do that at some point, not only just for the fact that you're not, like, you know, squashed in there with the masses at the beginning of the day, but it gives you an opportunity to see the parks with a different perspective. You know, it's almost like the planning video moment. You know, you might only get it for 5 or 10
yeah.
minutes, but you get it. You know what I mean? You could take a ton of pictures. You can get, you know, some of the kids, or, you know, of a couple. You can get some on Main Street without, you know, just thousands of people in the way. So great, great tip. And I let you know, keep always sharing those things, because again, the overall goal is that we entertain, but also that we give some good advice that'll maybe help you a little bit on your next trip. So lots of fun there. All right, next question. Let's get to it's Valerie. It says, hi, Mike, and anyone else. Oh, hey, I get. Well, you're. I guess you're everyone else today.
I'll take them all. I'll follow you.
That's funny. I just recently found your podcast, and I just love it. I've listened to all the new episodes, and I'm now starting to listen to the older ones. I've learned so much from listening to you guys, and I love hearing all your stories. Keep up the amazing job. My family is from British Columbia, Canada. I'm a single mom of three. I have a 3-year-old daughter, 11 and 13-year-old sons, and we have been to Disneyland. My boys twice now, my daughter once so far. I have been wanting to go to Disney World my entire life. My kids and I are now going to be taking single one-on-one trips to celebrate each child and spend some good quality time together without the crazy busy life we live. Our first trip will be with myself and my daughter. She is huge into all the princesses, so we will be doing lots of princess things. We are planning to go the end of October to around November 11th of 2017. My daughter will have just turned 4 before we arrive, so we will be there for 2 weeks. I know we will have a lot of downtime, especially each day for nap time. I'm wondering how many days we should do each park, and if I should get the park hopper. You're asking the wrong person if you're asking Pam on that one, but okay, here we go. So anyway, she has one more set. Let's see. We will have 8-day park tickets. Also, should we get the park hopper for the freedom while being there in case one park is busier than we're expecting, etc. Any fun princess extras would also be fun to know. Thank you again for your awesome expertise, Valerie. All right, Pam. Well, she wants the park hopper, so let's get to the rest of the question. No, just kidding. Just talk it through for Valerie, because she's got this. And I like. How about that idea of the one-on-one parent kid trip when you have multiple kids? Well, that's cool.
That was awesome. I think that my daughter does not appreciate how one-on-one time is her whole freaking life.
So that's true. Anyway. You do that all the. You invented that, Pam. I forgot.
Right. So anyways, no, I think it's so sweet to be able to do that. And Hannah and I have actually taken some trips by ourselves. We did a cruise, and we do some other shorter trips by ourselves. But I love that idea. I mean, I think, you know, getting to spend that alone time with each child is a really cool thing. And I'm sure it's a memory that you both will treasure. So anyways, you know, I am a huge fan of the Park Hopper, and that's because I gotta be like ready to go and do whatever, depending on whatever comes up at that moment, because my family is so on the fly. Now, I realize it's not a necessity for everyone, and especially for those who are really looking to save money. I mean, that's an area where you can take the park hopper off and then save some money. But I will say, I think paying more and getting the park hopper does allow you a lot of freedom for the very reasons that you spoke about. I mean, if a park gets crowded, you know, you can hop to the other park. And having a park hopper also allows you to take advantage of extra magic hours, regardless of whether they're at the park you were planning on being at that day or not. And I think that's another big plus too, because frequently, especially like at the Magic Kingdom, if we're going to get there for early extra magic hours, we are not going to stay all day because that park gets really crowded. So by like 11 or 12, we'll then move to another park. And the same thing actually for evening extra magic hours, in particular at the Magic Kingdom. We can spend all day at another park and then roll up at extra magic hours and walk on a number of attractions. So anyways, that's my number one reason for getting the park hopper. And it's something, you know, that you can consider.
What I've noticed over the years, of course, now we typically have annual passes, which is the park hopper, but it takes a lot of stress out of planning your dining when you have park hopper. And, you know, because you can eat anywhere. You know, you don't have to sweat it like, oh, man, if I don't have park hopper, I can't go to that. You know, if we're going to be at Magic Kingdom in the morning, then it rules out the other three parks at night. But one of the other things, too, is that the longer the trip, they're going to be there for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? The more the value, because you get, you know, if you buy the park hopper for 3 days, you have it for 3 days. It costs the same. Where if you're using it for, you know, 2 weeks, it's, you know, if you, again, Disney always tries to break it down where price per day, it makes more sense. So that's good.
Yes.
What about
they're great at that marketing, let me
tell you. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So what about princess thing? So, you know, of course, we talk about this a lot. You know, you got things like the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, if it fits into your budget. And there's different packages, you know, all the way up to the fancy ones where they get the dress and the shoes. And, you know, if you want to go all out special, or, you know, you can just get a hair did. I almost said a hair did, because that's what my girls always say. Got my hair did. So, you know, you can do that. Or, you know, you can even just, you know, maybe bring a dress from home and then do the hair and then kind of get the kind of a mixture of the both. There's things like the Grand Floridian Tea Party, but she's only four. So, you know, you raise girls, Pam. So what do you think for somebody that's that young? Because that's young. Maybe Bibbidi Bobbidi would be kind of in the wheelhouse there.
Yeah, I think Bibbidi Bobbidi would be. I mean, look, the princessing starts early, girls. We all know that. I mean, everyone loves to get their hair done and gets like new shoes and a dress. Hello. That starts very, very young. But I think too, I'm sure that you've looked into this, but think about the character meals too. When Hannah was younger, she really enjoyed the character meals because they come right to your table. And I think it's less intimidating in that space because as a child too, you also get to see those characters kind of interact with other kids throughout the dining room. And so I think that that's a big plus as well. But I loved it the way that the characters came up. Now, I can't say that the child ever ate more than a bite or two of food these character meals, but it was a small price to pay for, you know, getting to see that. And, you know, it also offers a great opportunity for some real one-on-one interaction if your child's quiet or shy or things like that, too. It's something that may not be possible, you know, with a character meet and greet in the parks because there's all those people watching you while you're there. When the character comes right to your table, you kind of get, you know, the opportunity to kind of interact. And we, when Hannah was little, before the character would come, we would always kind of have a conversation about, is there anything you want to ask Mickey? Or is there anything you want to ask Belle, you know, when she gets to the table, so that when that character was there, Hannah had something that she wanted to say. And that really started the conversation. Now, Hannah, as some of you may be able to imagine, was never really shy with any of the characters.
Hey, Belle, get over here.
She was like, do you know who I am? I'm Hannah Forrester. So let's talk about this, this, and this. I mean, she had a list of stuff she wanted to ask Belle when the first time we met her. So anyways, but I think that those character meals just really help you create those magical memories that will be, you know, around forever. You'll just really treasure them.
And just a couple of things, you know, when you take time to write, I always want to make sure we, you know, give you as much we can for the email. We appreciate you listening up in Canada. You know, if we didn't talk about resorts where you're staying, but two things, you know, two places I can think of off the top of my head would be Little Mermaid Rooms at Art of Animation, if you're looking for a value, or the Royal Rooms over at Riverside. I think a princess crazed girl would be over the top with either one of those options.
Yeah, I totally agree. Those are both great choices. And I actually stayed in the Little Mermaid Room not too long ago. So, I mean, it really is such a cool location. And, of course, those Royal Rooms are spectacular. So, wonderful. Enjoy.
Wonderful. All right, next question. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My name is Shahaf from Israel. How's this? We got Canada. We have Israel, Pam. Podcasting is so
We're
awesome.
We're so international.
I love this. First, let me tell you that your podcast is very popular here in Israel. Because of the large distance, 15 hours by airplane. Man, just think, I used to drive 14 hours flying for 15. That's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Holy cow. We usually traveling once a year for 3 weeks up to a month and waiting all year around for our trips to Walt Disney World. I have a question regarding our future trip, which will be different for us. I'm 29 years old and my wife is 24. This time we are going to be in Orlando for 1 week at the end of August 20th of 2017. We are traveling with my parents, which are in their early 60s. They both don't like theme parks and never been in the USA. They do like animals, but won't survive the lines or the long hours in the parks. We will stay off-site. My question is, what are you recommending for us to do with them that won't require a park ticket? We want them to explore Orlando and a little bit of Disney, but very scared that the week will turn out to be a nightmare for them as they don't usually like the parks. I asked them what they would like to do, and they like walking in cities, enjoying history, and good dining. Our budget is limited. Thanks again for the amazing job you're doing. All right, well, thanks so much for writing in from Israel. Again, it blows me away. It is unbelievable. So, you guys, man, you're going to have a good time. And I love that you're thinking about this proactively, you know, with still 10 months out on the horizon to really cater, because you're going to be there longer than your parents, it sounds like. So you can really focus this 1 week on making it a positive experience for your parents so they want to come back. What I'm thinking about, here's one of the things that I think is kind of overlooked, because you're coming this far. So I think, you know, for like Pam, she doesn't want to go more than 2 miles away from her home resort when she's there. You know, that she doesn't want to leave the bubble of whatever Animal Kingdom Lodge. But, you know, you've come from around the globe. So I would say the Central Florida area is still kind of local for you. And, you know, in that aspect, you've come so far. One of the things I think your parents may enjoy doing is exploring the Kennedy Space Center. And I know it's not animals, but I will tell you this, that if they like things like birds or... Because I know that there's something over at the Kennedy Space Center. It's called the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge. And while it's not a zoo, there's lots of walking trails and there's lots of native Floridian birds. And, they're wild birds, but they nest there. So they like history. And, you know, we got an awesome space program and they just put in a new exhibit with the kind of honoring the early Mercury, Gemini and Apollo astronauts and other astronauts and so forth. And, you know, with John Glenn is passing recently. I'm sure there'll be some focus on that, but you know, it's history, it's walking, and you have some unique dining places. You want to take them someplace nice over there in the Kennedy Space Center area in Titusville. There's a place called Dixie Crossroads, and they have something called Rock Lobster. It is so good. It's one of my favorite places to eat in Florida. So that would be something away from the parks. You know, of course you could go Animal Kingdom, but if they don't like the crowds, it's hot. You know, August is really hot. Pam, what would you say? I mean, I'm trying to give them some outside the box, options here.
No, I agree. Orlando actually has a great science center that I've heard lots of good things about. Now, Mike's right. I don't typically go too far off property once I'm there. But there is that. And I will say, too, one of the things that may appeal to your parents is over at SeaWorld, they have Discovery Cove,
yes,
which is really cool. You get to have the dolphin encounters and other things. But there's a lot of resources there available in that space if that's something that you would consider doing, too. There also are some really cool gardens in the Orlando area. The name is escaping me, but if you do a search for this, you'll be able to find it. But look for some of the gardens in that space and you'll be able to do that. Old Town is one of the places that I know that some people like to go. I think even though that's not in a theme park, it's kind of touristy as far as that space goes. But you may want to look at some of the other things in Orlando, like the Museum of Art, other things like that. I think that that would be a good thing. If they're looking, you know, if they enjoy walking and things like that, I think that going over to Fort Wilderness would be, you know, something. If you're on Disney property, you might want to go ahead and try to do. There's a great path between the Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. There's some trails there. I think that's always fun to do. And I think that you'll find a lot of things even, you know, outside of Disney that will be appealing to them. But I would, you know, what you may want to do is take them to some of the Disney restaurants that are more themed that are outside of the parks. I mean, you know, people love like Ohana and things like that. And that's a kind of quintessential Disney experience, but you don't have to be inside the parks. Some of the other ones you do. And that may be something that you want to do too. If you're really looking for a fine dining experience, then of course, you know, you can look at some of the signature restaurants, and most of those are located outside of the park. So you'll be good there.
And Tracy, our friend here in the Facebook live chat, again, we're always on Facebook around 6:30 Eastern on Monday evenings as we record some of the shows. Tracy's over in Wales, just got back from Walt Disney World last week, enjoyed following her on the social media. And she says that they enjoy going to Bock Tower Gardens in Orlando. A lot of her friends do that as well from over
there.
There you go. So Bock Tower, B-O-K-T-O-W-E-R. And Scott, you know, offered up just, you know, how about staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge? You know, if they like animals, they don't have to deal with any crowds. It's right, they're right there on your balcony. That's a great tip. I mean, and it's, and you got Sanaa to eat. You mentioned, you know, really good kind of themed dining that where it's not stressful because it's not busy and, you know, chaotic. You know, Sanaa's a great place to go have a meal. It's very low key. Animals walk right up to, you know, practically to your table, to the windows there.
Right.
And it's really neat. So good tips.
Great
Facebook
suggestions.
Bailing us
yeah.
out. Love it. And Scott did that on like no sleep because he had to drive overnight, like in the snow. So that's pretty good. That's like having one arm tied behind your back.
I saw that park job there when he got back to his house.
Yeah.
That
how fast was he going into his driveway? That's what I want to know. He's like, he didn't take out the whole house. Anyway, Allison has the next question. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My family is planning on traveling down to the world in November of 2017. We do not currently have annual passes, but we'll be upgrading our current tickets to annual passes once we get down there. We are planning on doing Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and would like to purchase the tickets, once they are released, at the discounted annual pass holder price. Will they let us purchase at the discount if we don't have a valid annual pass at the time of purchase, but will have an annual pass at the time we use the ticket? Thanks so much for all you do. I love listening to you each week. Allison is in Minnesota, where I'm sure it's very, very cold right now. So, Pam, me neither, man. Sometimes it just hurts to live when you go outside in those places. But so what about that? That's a good question. I think a lot of people might have that one.
You are supposed to have a ticket or a voucher, to purchase them at the discount. So that's, I don't think that you're able to purchase without them, at that point, because, I believe you need to, you know, enter that information when you're doing it online. I'm not 100% sure on this though, but I'm going to say the last I remember that was the case. I don't know, Mike, have you run into that?
No, that is the case if you're buying online. Absolutely. Cause you got to have proof
that you're an
annual pass holder to get that discount. Now the only
thing. You have to
sign
into that part of the website.
Absolutely. You got to kind of sign in on your My Disney. Now it's kind of connected to My Disney Experience, but, and I don't think this is going to be successful, but kind of your last hope here would be to call and see what they can do with you, you know, through ticketing. But yeah, that's one of those instances where, and you're doing the right, I mean, I do the exact same thing. I get a Magic Your Way ticket upgraded upon arrival. But, you know, if you're going on a very popular night, you don't want to risk that you're not going to have your ticket. And plus, sometimes, you know, day of, you don't get any, you definitely don't get an annual pass discount a lot of times. You know, that's for advanced purchase. So unfortunately, I don't think that's going to work out this time. But the savings will be better. It's a minimal savings compared to, you know.
Absolutely. You save like, what, $4 or $5? Yeah. I mean, it's not much.
I wouldn't stress.
So anyways, on the party ticket. So it's better for you to book the ticket with the package and then, you know, whatever, miss out on that savings than miss out on the other savings. So
that's right. All right, Brett's up next. Hello, BOGP crew. On a recent episode, you took questions from Facebook and Twitter and asked about the annual pass Magic Bands being shipped before the annual pass is activated. Good news is, yes, you can. Being that we are DVC, we called member services and bought 4 annual gold passes for our family. The cast member gave us a will call number to put into our My Disney Experience account. Once we assigned the passes to each family member under the Magic Band section, we were able to customize bands for the annual passes. After color and names we picked, then we had the option to ship the Magic Bands. A week later, we had our annual pass Magic Bands, and the kids and I have not taken them off since. So I guess they're like the commercial. They're walking around to Starbucks like, trying to make them wear. I'm just trying to picture that. Anyway. Yeah, that is. Now, I wish it was like that. I wish the world worked like that. Like, I need an ice cream sandwich. Bing, QT. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, well, an Apple Watch kind of does. But let's see. You still got to pay. Let's see. Now on to my question. In preparation for our upcoming Princess Half Marathon weekend / Mardi Gras trip, I have a question about car rentals. We always drive from New Orleans to Disney. It's about a 9-hour drive. This year, we are planning to rent a car for one day at home to drive down, stay the week, then rent a car in Disney for a day and drive back home. Does this sound like a good idea? We always use Disney transportation, so we don't need a vehicle for the time we are there. I know there's a car rental place on property. Is there a certain rental car companies there? Is there a certain rental car company you would recommend? We have been looking at prices for some companies. As of now, it looks like it would cost around $100 for each rental. Does this sound about right? Do you think the prices would go down? Any help or advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks again, Brett. All right, so basically he wants to rent a, it sounds like he wants to do two one-ways, which is like, New Orleans to Orlando, churn it in as he gets there, and then Orlando back to New Orleans, and then turn it in when he gets home. He doesn't want the car for the middle of the state, I guess, because they like Disney transportation. They don't want to let it sit. So, right. Pam, I mean, I've done one-way rentals, but the thing is, they get you on one-way rentals. They cost a lot more typically because, you know, you're not returning it to the place where you started. I know.
That's
from my,
right.
I know from my honeymoon. I paid through the nose.
That's right, but he's finding it for $100 each way, and I don't think that's bad.
No, that's so, not at all, because, I mean, you're saving that wear and tear in your car, I mean, halfway across the country, yeah.
Exactly. So if you're getting it for that, I think that's a good deal. There's no danger for most. Check the cancellation penalty or for whatever you're renting through. But if you're going through one of the major car companies, there's no danger in renting. And then if you find, you know, that it's lower, you can always cancel and make a new reservation. So that's something to think about. Again, make sure you check the cancellation terms for whatever you're renting, because I'm not sure what those are. And at Disney, there actually are a few places where you can rent cars. The Car Care Center right there is actually really convenient. It's by the TTC parking. They will, take you back to your resort, or they will come and get you. So that's kind of a cool thing. They have a shuttle that is available for that. And the car that's there, the companies that are there are Alamo and National are there. So you can do that there. And that's also over at the Swan and Dolphin. Those are the same companies that you'll have access to as well. Now, you'll also have additional companies available at the Orlando Airport if that's something that works out for you. If you, are wanting to do that, you can always take Magical Express from the airport to you'd kind of need a flight for that.
Yeah,
that's right. Duh, I was thinking that. But you could, Uber it even or something, for something like that. But if that gives you more choices in terms of the companies that you can rent from, you can try that too. So
absolutely. And the one thing I would say is that, before you leave home, maybe a month out, sign up for the loyalty programs for the companies that you're, thinking about using, because usually they're no cost and you get some kind of express getting out of there pass, because you want to save your time on a vacation. And, if you can save one line, that line may have 12 people in it at Walt Disney World. So sign up for the loyalty programs.
Sure.
All right. Next question comes from Melissa. Hello. I have a bit of a question for the podcast, and I'm hoping you can help. My fiance and I are coming over from Australia in April of 2017, the 23rd to the 28th. Pam, we are all over the world today. It's great.
I love this. This is like our international show. We're becoming the Epcot of podcasts.
We are. Who would have thought all this? Anyway, we're staying at Pop and currently have 4 days of tickets. I'm thinking of doing a half day on the day we arrive, but I've seen a few people say it isn't worth it. What are you guys' thoughts? Also, we'll be driving from Dallas over to Orlando, so if you have any must-sees along the way, I'd love to hear them. Thanks again, Melissa. You know what? We need to get Melissa hooked up with, who's the last question? I can't remember. Brett.
Yeah, right.
They're coming on the same road. They're taking I-10 across. Because I've never driven that. So I don't know. Maybe if you're coming from Dallas, I don't know if you go through Huntsville. That's Space Camp School, Rocket Center. Yes. But get to Disney. Anyway, so my thoughts, let me just throw them in. So they got 4 day tickets. They're going to be there for the 23rd to the 28th. You're coming from Australia. I think everything is a matter of perspective. You're coming from the, not only the other side of the world, but the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere. Yeah, splurge for one extra day of tickets and go and ride stuff and just experience it as much as you can while you're here, because you're paying a lot to get here for transportation. You're paying a lot in time invested to travel. Pam, would you say to, when you get to that fifth day of the ticket, it's not that expensive to add the fifth day.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer for me. Absolutely. Pay for the ticket for a half day. You're not talking about that much more money. And it just, you know, I think that you'll enjoy it. Even if you do nothing more than go into one of the parks, kind of get acclimated, maybe have a meal there, see a show, catch the fireworks. For me, catching the fireworks is enough of an excuse that I need an extra day of tickets. So enjoy. I mean, that's why you're here. Really soak up every moment that you can. So,
all right. Well, have a good time from Australia. It's going to be great. And we want to hear about it. Hey, we have a question live in the Facebook, and this is a breaking, very important question. It's from Joey in the live Facebook, and he says, how do we get Disney to change back to the turkey leg recipe? I was there a few weeks ago, and it was whack. I was so excited for it, too. So have you heard? I haven't heard this. Did Disney change?
I haven't either. Yeah, I always thought they tasted like ham anyway.
They do taste like ham. I haven't had one at Disney in ages. The last time I had one was because we were at the studios like during an Extra Magic Hour, and literally there was, and I was starving. There was nothing open except the turkey leg stand, and I didn't care. Like, I was going to gnaw my arm off. So I got one. But you're exactly right. Those things taste exactly like ham. It's like Easter. But like you're walking around with Easter in your hand. It's crazy.
Exactly.
So we will keep
I didn't know they had changed it. I really and truly didn't. So good to know. I haven't heard anything about whether that's in the works or not. How have I not heard this? How has the internet not been up in arms about this? So
he says, I want it to taste like ham again. #. Make the turkey leg great again. I love it. Good
Too
job.
Too funny.
Well played. It probably doesn't kill you as fast right now. That's probably the truth, you know, because that thing had to, those things were so salty. Like I was
nitrates.
On whatever it was, I felt like a slug that somebody had just dropped salt on, you know, like where they just fizzle up. I thought that was me. Anyway, especially when it's July. Jennifer's got the next question. She says, let's see, hi, Mike and friends. We'll be heading down to the world in May to celebrate my birthday and graduation from law school. Congratulations. We are leaving on Mother's Day, and I would like to book a breakfast ADR for one of the resorts for my mom before we head back to Alabama. There are 4 adults and no kids, and I have severe anaphylactic dairy and tree nut allergies. We will already be doing 1900 Park Fair during the trip and need a non-park restaurant as we will be departing that day. We're staying at Art of Animation, so there is no table service restaurant at our resort. Where would you guys recommend I book for Mother's Day breakfast? Roll Tide, Jennifer. I like that. I just had to put that out there for all the Auburn fans. I know that gets Aaron going. All right, so anyway, Mother's Day somewhere, and she's got those, but I think the allergies is kind of a non-starter because I think it's going to be kind of handled the same way just about everywhere. You know, I guess buffets, they would come out and just kind of make sure that you don't get around any of that stuff. So we can kind of go anywhere, right?
I think so. I mean, you know, just let them make sure that when you make the reservation that you make your, you know, your specific dietary needs known. And I would call back to confirm it as well. So
where'd you go for Mother's Day in a resort? So let me try to think. They're already
doing, I know where I'm going.
Okay, so where are you going? So I know where you're going.
Take me to brunch at Narcoosie's or the California Grill. Hello. I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. Both of these brunches include drinks and great food and great views too. So that's where I want to go.
Yeah, I'm going Sanaa. I think that'd be fun. It's easy to get into. It's got the animals, and it's kind of a special place. I must be in the mood for bread. I must not have had enough carbs this weekend. I can always tell, like, I need to go eat a loaf of bread. Anyway, it won't be as good. All right, last question today comes from Wendy. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm a longtime listener of the show and recent addition to the Lizards. Here's my question. My husband and I are signed up for the Glass Slipper Challenge in February. I think I underestimated how soon I needed to secure my room. I waited for the annual pass discounts to come out, and it was slim pickings, but we were able to book a standard room at Coronado Springs. Wait a second, Wendy, you hit the jackpot. I mean, that is, anyway, that's where I book. We have stayed at almost all the resorts, but this is one I'm having trouble getting excited about. As a DVC member, we usually go to Port Orleans Riverside when we're staying out of pocket. I know you love Coronado, so I need you to sell me on this resort so I can get excited. Tell me some of your favorite things. Also, what is the best area to request when in a standard room? Thanks for all you do. Go Lizards. All right, Wendy, first of all, let me just tell you. You nailed it. I mean, I know that I'm terrible at this because I have no credibility, because my last resort that I stayed at is always my favorite because I love Disney and I just love it. So, you know, wherever I stay, it's like, oh, that was so awesome, because it always is. But I really, really like Coronado Springs because it feels just a step nicer than the other moderates. It's just, well, Pam, you sold me initially on Coronado Springs because it was the last moderate I stayed at. I was in Wendy's position a couple years ago because I never stayed there. I was like, eh, I don't know if it's for me. You know, the Southwest theme, I don't know. So how did you get me to convert to Coronado? Because I love the place.
So I do too. It's actually one of my favorite moderates. And there's a few reasons why. First of all, I feel like Coronado is the one moderate resort that actually has enough seating by the pool.
Yes.
The other ones just don't. I'm just going to put it out there. They don't. So it's like, you know, you're fighting for seats like the rest of the day. So I really like that. I think that Coronado has a feel of a little bit more of a luxurious resort in terms of, I felt like they have more restaurant choices than any other moderate by far.
Yes.
And there's a lot of restaurant choices there. There's two table service and as well as two counter service. There's a couple bars. The eating by the pool, there's a much more extensive menu than there are at the other moderate resorts. So that's a big plus. I love that lake that sits in the middle of the resort. I know that some people really feel like if they're in certain areas that it makes for a long walk because you kind of walk around the lake. I enjoy that walk. I really and truly do. It looks great in the morning. It looks great in the evening. It's just a cool place to be. So that's another reason why I love Coronado Springs too. They have an expanded room service menu, which again is not available at other moderate resorts. So something else to keep in mind there. And I think, you know, in terms of room requests, I think what you want to do is request things that are important to you. So if you want to be near transportation, request that. If you want to be closer to the main building, I would book, you know, a room that actually is closer to the main building, because there are some locations there that are, and that's a choice for you to do. So then you don't even have to worry about that. If you want to book, you know, kind of a water view, you can do that as well. So those are the things that I suggest to people when they're looking at room requests.
Yeah, it's a great place. And that's great advice to kind of request what you're looking for, not necessarily like a building or a,
you know,
if you really know what you're looking for, that's fine. But if you're looking for, especially on a first time stay at a resort, you know, what's important to me? Is it view? Is it transportation being close? Stuff like that. I will also say one of the things that I never, ever realized was that Coronado Springs honestly has the best location on property as far as overall to the four parks. You're really close
for
to
sure.
All four. I mean, you're right next to the studios, which you're kind of right next to Epcot because of that. Magic Kingdom's just right down World Drive, and Animal Kingdom's, you know, just a hop and a skip and a jump. It's a really great location. It's just, and they actually too, a lot of the rooms just recently came off a refurb too. So you're going to be like in a fresh room in February. So I bet she comes back and she likes this place. It's really neat. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, time to get out of here. Thanks again for tuning in. And today's show, it's a Wednesday. So that means it is brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And I just realized something, Pam. Ricky always tells us what's going on. So I'll tell you what you might read about. And actually, I saw this earlier in the week. They were talking about the new box styles for the Magic Bands, and they're much more, and we did an unboxing before we recorded the show on Facebook, but it's more, you know, it's a smaller box, it's more confined, but it's kind of got everything you need. It's got information in there, your Magic Bands and all that stuff. So if you just want to keep up with everything that's going on in the Disney Universe movies, I'm sure that there's a little movie called Rogue One coming out tomorrow, you know, on Friday. You may read something about that on Theme Park News Disney Edition too, because there's going to be a lot of impact on the parks, I'm sure, when this thing rolls over $1 billion here in the next couple of months. It's better than reading the cereal box over breakfast, and it's the best thing to watch, to read there as you go to bed each night. It's a free iOS app that can help you turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Support the folks who support us. Grab Theme Park News Disney Edition today over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And while you're there, check out all the great ornaments from the Christmas Ornament Exchange. It's amazing. Go on that thread, and it's just cool. People sharing ornaments from where they're from. You know, I saw one today from New Hampshire. It was a moose with like a Christmas wreath, you know, around
love
its
that.
Neck. I mean, I think that's cool because you get to share, you know, your community with the world. And you know, that's a great learning. And I see the kids getting ornaments and they're getting to learn about other states. And a lot of times you heard today's show, other parts of the world. I mean, it is, we have a truly amazing community. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of everything we do. It's a blessing to be able to do the show three times a week. All right. Well, it is time to get out of here and let's get on with your Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday talking about some of the more unique things we've done at Walt Disney World and at the Disney destination. So it should be a fun show. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike wishing you a great Wednesday. Get back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening and we'll see you real soon.